Good evening. I count it a joy and a privilege to be able to dance with your hearts and minds just for a little bit. There's nothing like God's people surrounded by the fellowship of the saints and the word of God that has formed the earth and still sustains the earth. And so I do not take it for granted, and I hope and pray that as you sit and as you listen, that you might expect a word from God, because it is the word of the Lord after all. This evening, we are going to find ourselves in John, the 21st chapter, from verses 1 unto verse 8, and so I will be leading us in a reading of that, and then we'll go swiftly into our lesson, because I do not want to waste any time. I know I have a hard stop that I've been given, and so I want to honor that time so that I could be invited back maybe next year. All right. John chapter number 21, from verse 1 to verse 8, the Bible reads, here we go. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. A deeper joy, a joy that is uninterrupted. It had been a long night. The sea was quiet, the nets were empty, and the disciples, men who had seen miracles and walked with the Messiah and watched him die, well, they were back to fishing. Maybe it was comfort, maybe it was a necessity, maybe they just did not know what else to do. And as the sky lightened and dawn began to stretch across the horizon, a voice called from the shore, "Children, do you have any fish?" They didn't recognize the voice at first. I mean, why would they? It was just another morning, another day after loss, after confusion. But something about that voice, you know, stirred in the ear, lingered for a while, and it made that moment shimmer as moonlight kissing the water. And then it clicked. "It is the Lord." Without hesitation, Peter, wild, impulsive Peter as you know him, grabbed his cloak and dove into the sea. The others followed in the boat, hauling the net behind them, overflowing now with fish they hadn't caught by themselves. Peter did not wait for the boat to dock. He didn't calculate the distance or consider how soaked he would be. He just jumped. Now that's joy. That's not just delight. That's not fleeting happiness, but a deeper, urgent, uncontainable joy. And you and I know that feeling very well. We have been in that space. It's like holding your first child, a moment of unspeakable joy and standing at the precipice of a baby being delivered. As a first-time parent, how do you feel? Alas, how do you feel when that baby is a little more grown? I agree, yes. Say it with your chest, baby. That could not be more planned. And whenever you hear the sound of babies in a church, you understand that you have life, you have vitality, and you have future. So God bless the cry of babies. But then babies grow up, and then you get pushed back on curfew, and when you ask for chores to be done, they push back. But you still remember that joy when you receive them. Maybe at the altar, on that wedding day, you are beaming with excitement, deep affection, and bold hopes accost you at the wedding altar. You've got your man, you've got your woman. It's official with many kisses and many more to follow. And so you know, you have been in that state that Peter, leaping out of the boat, found himself. But let's be clear. Joy and happiness aren't the same. Happiness is the flash of delight at good news, the smile when everything is going right in your world. But joy is a current, I would say, that meanders deep beneath it all, sustaining the soul when the party is over, holding firm when the child who once melted in your arms now yells, "Get out of my room," which is not their room in the first place. But joy is a seed planted deep, sometimes hidden by weeds and shrubs and forgotten in the grind, but it is still growing. It is the posture of the heart that says, even now, even in the mundane, he is here. It's not a spiritual sugar rush. It's not an emotional high. But a quiet strength that carries you through both miracle and mundane mornings. So think back to John, the 21st chapter. The disciples are not trying to be rebellious that we know of. They were just fishing, doing what they knew best, casting nets. I mean, you know, this staying busy. What do you do when you're not sure what to do? You stay faithful. You keep casting nets, even when they come up empty. And yet, in that mundane act, Jesus shows up. That act to wrestle chaos back, that act to provide, that act to satiate hunger, that act just to do your daily activity. You know this. A mom who fixes bottles and does laundry, a dad who sits in traffic and is looking and TikTok, and he has to get there and here. And even this afternoon, you are on your way here. You are sitting in the mundane, you are driving in the mundane, you are resting in the mundane. Jesus does not appear in a burst of fire or the splitting of skies. He simply speaks from the shore. He gives a quiet command, and then suddenly the nets are full. Just like that wedding, you know, in Cana of Galilee. Not spring or sparkling water, not gas station wine, but the best wine. People expect. And not chips and drinks, but fish, bread, food, manna from above, as the 5,000 on that hillside feast. You know, it is in obedience in the quiet, in the routine acts that joy breaks through. Not diamonds, not luxury. When Christ provided, he provided needs and not just wants. And as we see in all these narratives, he never comes up short with providing our needs. And we often miss the joy because we're looking for something else, something more shinier. But God shows up in the ordinary, asking not for spectacular faith, but just steady hearts. So the chaplain, who is not skilled in medicine, but who has read the church fathers and who has read the gospels and who has seen the presence of God coming to sinners and the broken, walks into an emergency room or an ICU or meanders the floors of the PCU and he looks at people that are broken, that are waiting and wanting for health and healing. And he does not bring healing, but you know what he brings? He brings a non-anxious presence to say, look away from the monitor, look away from the IV, and look at a man or a woman, a conduit, a chaplain, who allows for the presence of God to be brought into this room. He cannot do miracle. The miracle is in the pointing toward God and waiting and resting with those who are waiting as well. So Jesus reveals himself in different ways. Remember Mary? She hears his voice and it clicks. Thomas, he feels the wounds and it clicks. And to the disciples on the shore, this abundance, don't you remember, Peter? This is Jesus. So how does he show up in your life? And maybe more importantly, are you even looking, because all you see around you is the evidence of concrete that is well cured. But if you take your time, if you slow your roll and you steady your steps, and you look away from the distractions and you look down, you will see life finding all the cracks, all the fissures, all the holes, all the crevices to be found in the mundane and pushing up and saying, here I am for those who desire to slow down and weigh life and understand this is good, this is mundane, but this is miracle. And so Peter recognized him like you'd recognize a plant pushing up from concrete. And in that recognition, he acted wildly, boldly, like someone in love with no calculation, but only conviction. I mean, it is a funny picture, really, a grown man leaping off a boat, half-dressed, arms flailing toward the shore. But joy makes you do some strange things. Joy drives you to Jesus. How many times have you made this journey to the sanctuary? And what are you expecting when you are driving? Oftentimes you go as you have come, receiving nothing in your mind, receiving nothing in your feeling, but then you do it faithfully, like over and over and over again, casting your nets. The casting of your nets in the expectation Jesus shows up to give graces. But you have to stay close. You have to learn how to hear. You have to learn how to pause and stop and see what is breaking through the mundane. Old couple, Bob and Mary, have walked this park for over 15 years. They are now on this Saturday afternoon walking the same park. Kids are playing, park performers are strumming on guitars. Babies are sipping on bottles from moms, perched on the shade trees. Candyman, ice cream man, they are making eye contact with prospective buyers over the chime of their bells, music to the tiny ears. But slowly Mary drifts. stops at a postcard stand, and Bob keeps walking. Mary! Sound goes out. There's no answer. She cannot hear him anymore. Not because she stopped loving him, but because she drifted. Because she stopped. See, everyone who is away from the care and from the voice of the master, they are not out there trying to do bad. They are not vile. We as human beings, sometimes we just drift. Nothing's wrong with drifting if you know how to catch yourself when you hear the voice, the invitation to the way back. We are still walking. We are still moving. Technically, we are still with Jesus, but not close enough to hear the whisper. Joy requires proximity. Turning down the volume, drawing near and listening again. How far have you drifted? Man, woman, child. Can you still hear him call your name? Because when he calls, it might not be a booming voice. It might not be a clear, distinct soprano of, here I am. It might be an image. It might be a feeling. It might be a space that you occupy. And all you have to do in this moment is to stop and look down and expect from the well-cured concrete. Don't forget Peter's past. He had failed spectacularly. Do you know this man? No. Do you know this man? No. Do you know this man? No! Spectacularly, he had failed. Ran away. Really, how far was Peter from Judas? Not that far. The only difference was Peter turned back, not because he had a plan, but because he had a hunger. Some of us are not hungry because we are filled with the fodder of spectacular idols that satiate for a moment, but in the long run, it takes away every good thing that we are about, that have been gifted to our souls. The swim back to shore, it wasn't just water splashing up and down. It was repentance. And I've seen this. On my island, I've seen this. Early in the morning, the fishermen are back. And usually the ones on the bow of the boat, they will take off their garments and strip down to their underwear and take the water to look at the nets and to straighten things up and to get things lined up so that they could pull catch to shore. So men in underwear disrobing like what Peter did, man, that's a normal scene on an island. Maybe not in Dallas, Texas, in this location, but then again, I'm not sure if you might want to see that. But that swim back to shore was about repentance. It was a return every single stroke. A restoration, because that's where deeper joy begins. Not in feeling things and being high of experience, but in turning after you've heard distinctly, after you know that you know that you know that God is in this place. How can you hear the sound of a baby's vibrato and not think on God? Where does that soul come from? Well, that's joy. Tangible. Real. And as you turn to witness, as you turn to hear, as you turn to try, you come back. Most of us, we're sitting here, but I don't even know if we expect joy. Because it has been so defined and accepted from a worldly standpoint that we curate joyful experiences while we hold at bay everything that God has given to build us up. The health and wealth gospel, the self-help books. If I am a Christian, it should work out. If I am a Christian, there should be more rainy days and less dark days. If I am a Christian, I should get the promotion. If I am a Christian, my car is not going to quit. If I am a Christian, my husband is not going to quit. If I am a Christian, my wife won't leave. We are trying to curate the experience of joy that is flimsy and flesh-bound, flesh-defined. And you know the way of the flesh. It is always death. But the things of the Spirit are established in the eternal realm. There are no jokes, no tricks, no sleight of hand. God says, if you follow me, you will have to pick up your cross. And there will be days when you wish like me, like the Son of Man in the flesh. Father, let this cup pass before me. Now, what we usually do is we affix that phrase of Jesus to, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. But before you join it, let it stand by itself. And let me tell you that Christ said to God the Father, I don't want to do this. This is hard. I don't want to do this. So that when you say the same thing, and you will say the same thing, this church, I don't want to be here. This Bible class, I don't want to be here. This motherhood, I don't want it. This marriage, I don't want it. I don't want to be here. There's no joy here for me. Nevertheless, not my will, not my flesh, but yours be done. How does that look to you when you take one image before you put them together? It makes you understand that Christ gets you. That joy that he offers is not going to go anywhere. That to give you that joy, heaven and hell will collide, and the fragments are not enough, in summary, to pull you from that joy. Most of us aren't expecting Jesus to show up anymore. We attend service, we say the prayer, we take the bread and the wine, but our hearts are still waiting in the shallows because our rituals don't lead to anywhere. When rituals were given to take us to the destination, Christ says, if you break the bread and drink the wine, I will meet you. So don't really, 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 really preach about orthopraxy, the right practice, or orthodoxy, the right teaching and meaning and interpretation. What does it do for you, oh man and woman? If it does nothing for you, why would you build me up to expect anything that you haven't experienced yourself? So when you take the bread and the wine, you look down at the well-cured concrete, and you step out of the way to receive the presence of God breaking through your circumstances, breaking through the mundane, breaking through the regular, the paint that does not shift or shimmer, so that he could do deep work with our hearts in this space as we are gathered as the body. See, we want ocean depth joy while we are still paddling ankle deep in safety. Don't move this furniture around. I've gotten used to it the way it is. Don't give me any surprises. I need to know what is coming, how everything is set up. And you don't get that. When the master is leading, he says, 300 on this side. Well, you know, we've done that already. But if you say so, we will do it, because you look and sound like you know what you're talking about. Expect joy. Expect Jesus. Expect him to interrupt your routine. There is faithfulness in routine. But you have to expect, you have to want, to want to hear, to want to feel, to want to see. Every day I want to see. If we are here, I'm like, God, where are you? Something bad, something tragic. But I know that you are lurking. What is this for? How can we speak into it? How can we receive it? How can we bless it? Because we understand. You turn water into wine. And it's not just a fancy miracle. It's an exclamation concerning your goodness, concerning what you want to do. He's still calling from the shore. He's still preparing breakfast. Still waiting for you to maybe see him. I'm preaching to people on pews who sometimes don't expect anything from God. Maybe because they're afraid that if they really see, if they really feel, there's no way to go but forward. Without expectation, you meander, you wade in the pool back and forth, and there's mud on your feet, and it's wet, but you are not going deeper. We both look like we've bathed. We both are soaked from head to toe. But how do you know that I just went to the shallow end of the pool and laid flat while this other guy dove into the deep end? Sometimes looks can betray the reality that is embedded in the soul. So here's the question. I have 4 minutes. Are you close enough to hear God's voice? Are you lost in the park? I know you love him. I love him too. This is not a question about love. It's a question about obedience. And that obedience leads to deeper love, deeper joy. Clear the brush, turn down the noise, obey in the small things. You don't need a big thing. You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to be a song leader. You don't need to be an exegete. You just need to follow and obey and be faithful in whatever he has given you, wherever he has given you, with whomever he has given you. That space is yours to claim for the glory of the King. That space is yours to claim for the glory of the King. Deeper joy doesn't live in safety. It lives in surrender. Because when that man takes the water, he knows nothing about what is beneath. And the way he goes so haphazardly, he probably could have drowned, but he's a fisherman, so I tend to think not. But nothing about him getting into the water makes sense. It's just a frantic grab of stuff to just get to a person that you find so irresistible that you would abandon your self-awareness so that you could make time to meet him. That's a deeper joy. That's a Peter type of joy. That's a joy that says, I don't need a miracle to feel high and well and joyous. And I don't need to lament living in the mundane, going to my job every day, loving my kids every day, doing what it takes. Christ says, I will meet you in the miracle. I will meet you in the mundane. And that joy nothing can take away. Lord, awakening us a joy so wild that we would jump out of boats for you. Let us leave behind the shallow waters and swim into the deep. Help us to listen again, to expect again, and to find right here this very day, to find your presence, to find your meal, your sustenance for our lives. This is our prayer for your Christ, we pray. Amen.